Thank you, Tim. Hey, everybody. Good to see you all. And it's great to be here. How many stayed up last night? How many didn't? More didn't than did. Okay. We did. We've had a little tradition over the last few years of getting together with Doug and Kate Egling and Ken and Sue. I felt that Lori, when she gets home, you know, it's a longer process. I'm like, you know, heading for the bed. You know, it takes me about 3 minutes to get in bed. But so some of us are a little bit lacking maybe in sleep, but I hope you'll stay with me. I won't speak for long. You know, just one thing in the bulletin, I kind of had to chuckle a little bit. Tim was talking about the dinner next week, and it says the church is providing drinks and this and that or whatever, and it says dinnerware, and I'm like, that doesn't look right. And it's not like, yeah, like it says dinner, W-E, you know, separate word, W-E-A-R. It's like, no, we're not going to provide clothes for you to wear. Dinnerware is W-A-R-E, I think one word or whatever, but anyways, so I was saying to Tim Archer, we made a mistake. And I said, it's like that parable where the guy came to the wedding feast, but he didn't have the right clothes on, so he got kicked out or whatever. So, but we won't do that to you, all right? But we're not providing clothes for you to wear to the dinner, so you have to provide your own. So the title of the message this morning is, What Do You See? What do you see? And it's taken from Mark chapter 8, and we'll get to that. I'll put that verse up here in a moment. And it is one of the most interesting healing accounts in Scripture of, you know, a healing miracle that Jesus performed, and it was to heal a man of his blindness. But there's some interesting and different things about this, so we'll read this. Beginning in verse 22 of Mark chapter 8. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So Jesus asked him, he said, you know, what do you see? Or, you know, he asked him if he saw anything. And he said, yeah, I do, but it's not clear. And so it's like, you know, this is like a really interesting passage, isn't it? Because of the, I guess you would call it maybe the progressive nature of this miracle. You know, it didn't happen instantaneously. It wasn't, you know, and most of the time when Jesus prayed, when he laid hands on someone, you know, it was instantaneous. And I think we would all agree that there's no doubt in our minds that Jesus could have done it that way, right? But there's this progressive sort of thing where Jesus and all that, you know, he spits on his eyes, which, you know, that's, I'm trying to picture some of these things. You know, we read the stories in Scripture, but try to actually picture what they look like. So just, I'm going to use this verse, this passage as a little bit of a springboard to what I want to talk about. So just a couple of observations from it. So again, he spits in the man's eyes. Don't know exactly how that looked, but, and then he put his hands on him. And the only other time that Jesus did something like this was in John chapter 9. And it wasn't the same, though, in this case. He spit on the ground. And he took and made it into like a mud plaster sort of thing and put it on the man's eyes. And the man was healed. And, you know, you think about it, you know, many times in Scripture, Jesus just laid hands on people. And instantly they were healed. Sometimes he just spoke a word, right? He just spoke a word. Sometimes the people weren't even in his presence. And he just spoke a word. There was, of course, the instance of the woman, who touched the hem of his garment and was healed. And so there's all these different examples of Jesus, you know, touching people in different ways. And so what is all this about? And I think the first thing that I wanted to emphasize is this. God won't allow the manifestations of his miracle-working power to become a formula. Okay? And I want you to really catch that. He won't allow them to become a formula. Healing or any other manifestation of the power of God flows out of a relationship with him, right? It flows out of a relationship with the Lord. It's not about, okay, I'm going to do exactly the same thing. Jesus said these words and he went through these motions or whatever. So if I do, you know, and sometimes that's human nature. We tend to try to figure things out and how's, you know, and God will not let that happen. You know, there were times in the book of Acts where, Peter walking along, here's my shadow, right? And his shadow would pass over someone who was maybe sitting along the side of the road and they were healed. There was times when the apostle Paul, handkerchiefs, it said, you know, cloths that he had in his possession, or I don't know exactly how all that happened, were given out and distributed to people and they were healed. You know, it's just amazing all the different things that happen, but it always flows out of relationship. It always flows out of relationship. The second thing about this passage is I think it speaks of, I mean, this was obviously clearly a physical healing, but I think it's a reminder to us of our need for our spiritual blindness to be healed. And that is always a progressive thing, right? You know, where God opens our eyes and God begins to show us. And that's really what I'm going to talk about a little bit more this morning, is how God, he desires to open our eyes. He desires us to see the things that are going on in the spiritual realm. We'll never see them perfectly. You know, the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 13, but there's much more that we can see of what God is doing. He wants to show us things. He wants to show us things about what he has for our lives. He wants to just open our spiritual eyes. And that is very much a progressive sort of thing. You know, it doesn't just happen, you know, at a snap of a finger sort of thing. And as a matter of fact, I wrote this in my prayer journal just a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking about this. Many miracles that God does in our lives don't even appear to be miracles because they happen over a period of time. You know what I'm saying? There's so many times, you know, where's the miracle working power of God? It's around, it's happening all the time. But so often in our, excuse me, so often in our lives, it's happening in a progressive way, you know, slowly. I mean, this healing of this man wasn't slow per se, but still, you know, there's a progressive nature to that. And the other thing about the spitting in the eyes, or taking the spit and making mud, that's like, I think of the scripture, that Jesus talked to spoke to the Church of Laodicea in Revelation 3. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And so I think kind of that spinning sort of thing, even though it's kind of strange for us, you know, is like the eye salve. And it's just a reminder that we need our spiritual eyes open. But the thing, you know, again, Jesus said, what do you see? He said, you know, basically, Jesus asked if he saw anything. That was, and so I, you know, kind of turned that around to, you know, the title, what do you see? And he said, I see men like trees, you know, walking. And God is saying to us, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see the things that I want you to see? And I'm not talking about the color of the walls. I'm not talking about whether the person in front of you has a new Christmas outfit on. I do, actually. Lori got me this. But, you know, what do we see in terms of the Spirit, what God is saying, what God is doing? And again, we're walking into a new year. And there's a few things, and I'm just gonna spend a couple more minutes in the scriptures, and then I wanna share three or four things quickly that I feel like I see, you know, and again, sometimes see through a glass dimly, as the scripture says, but, you know, just some direction and things that I think are significant for us as a people, as a congregation, moving into to this year. This is a very significant statement. If you only see, at least it is for me, and I hope it becomes so for you, if you only see with your natural eyes, you will by nature just react to things, right? You'll spend your whole life as a reactor, you know. You'll see things and then you'll react. And of course, that's part of life. We all do that. But God has so much more for us. Frankly, most people go through life like that, you know, just reacting to what's going on around them. You know, you turn on the news or you see what's going on, you know, whatever. And things going on, things you see with your natural eyes, which of course is normal. And we're just always reacting to it. But if you're able to see with the eyes of the Spirit, it says in Ephesians 1, is it 18, 19, I think? I don't have it in front of me. But that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And you know, if you're that kind of person, if God has given you spiritual vision and helping you to see more of what He wants you to see, then you're not a reactor, you're an initiator, right? You're able to, God is able to use you to bring things that are in the spiritual realm into the natural realm. You know, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? The Apostle Paul said this. He said, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are, think about that statement. We don't look at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And if we can get to that place more and more, and it's a personal thing in each of our lives, you know, there's probably a corporate aspect of it too, but the more and more that God opens our spiritual eyes, we begin, like I say, to be initiators, and we're not just reacting to everything that's going on around us. And boy, I tell you, it's a much better way to live. You know, if you have a sense of what God is saying and doing, and you're not, you know, tossed to and fro by everything that's going on, by every wind of this or that's coming along. And so what's our spiritual vision? The Bible has a lot to say about it. In one place, it's, come on, there we go. It's Elisha and his servant, and they're surrounded by an army of Syrian soldiers with chariots and horses, and Elisha's servant, of course, if you know the story from 2 Kings 6, Elisha's servant only sees the natural army, right? He only sees the natural army, so he's scared. And Elisha prayed, 2 Kings 6:17, and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Amazing. Elisha saw in the Spirit, and that made all the difference in the world. And he prayed that God would open the eyes of his servant. Moses was able to see things that others didn't see. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith he forsook Egypt. You know, he laid aside the privilege and the wealth of Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Job also, you know, the story of Job, it's an amazing, wild story in the scripture, the book of Job. But Job said in chapter 42, verse 5, right at the end, after everything he went through, he says, I've heard of you, God, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And, you know, I don't want to have to go through what Job went through to get to that place, right? None of us do. But I think a lot of us are in that place where we've heard and heard and heard and heard, right, about God and the things of God. And that's wonderful. That's encouragement. It builds us up and stuff like that. But Job got to that place where he said, but my eyes see you now. You know, I see the spiritual vision was open. And I thought, that, just one or two more verses. I thought this was an important one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One of the prerequisites for God increasing our spiritual vision is that we would have purity in our hearts and that we would be living holy lives. And as I said before, you know, we have to remember that none of us will ever walk this out perfectly in our lives, in this earthly life, in this physical body. It says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know as I also am known. So I'm encouraging you about seeking God, that he would open our eyes more to see, have that spiritual vision, to know what he's saying, to know how he's directing us and leading us as we go into this new year. But none of us will do it perfectly, which says to me, we have to stay humble, right? We have to stay seeking God. We have to be teachable. We have to be accountable to other people, right? Nobody, you know, sometimes I hear people, and don't misunderstand the statement, but I hear people throw around God told me like it's, you know, I don't know, just like throwing it. And I believe God speaks to his people and stuff, but let's be careful. Sometimes, you know, I always say to people, sometimes that's the trump card, you know. You know, you try to correct someone or you say, you know, I think you're maybe going, no, God told me, you know. And we got to stay teachable because we see through glass darkly. But again, I'm encouraging us all that we would allow God and work together with him and let him work in our lives, that we could see more of the spiritual vision that God wants us to see. So with that as a backdrop, I want to talk about a couple of things that I'm excited about, some of them I'm a little nervous about, but you know, as we move into this new year. Actually, I'll say this. Next, a week from tomorrow, I go away. If you've been around, you know that I take a few days in January usually to go away and to pray and to fast. And that's a week from Monday. That's a week from tomorrow. But here's a few things. Some are bigger than others. But there's just some things I want to share with you. First, I felt like God was speaking to me over the last few months about teaching and preaching more expository sort of messages. And by that, if you don't know what that word means, like more verse by verse in a systematic way. So I kind of had that nudging in my heart, you know, feeling that way. And so I was like, Lord, where, how, you know, and so starting next, next Sunday, that's the plan, hopefully next Sunday, I'm going to begin a verse by verse exposition of Paul's letter to the Romans. And it probably take a few months, maybe 6 months, maybe more. And I hope you give me a little bit of freedom, you know, if there's a Sunday where I have something else on my heart. But I really feel, because I enjoy, you know, this is an aside. I love that, you know, seeking God every, and I still, you know, you still got to seek God, you know, even if you're teaching expositionally or whatever the word is. But still, I like that, you know, sense of, you know, just God giving you something for a specific time. And so that might happen, but I really want to focus and I really want to drill down and teach the scriptures more in depth. And I felt like the Lord was leading me to, the letter to the Romans. And it is a masterpiece. Now, the whole Bible, right, is inspired and errant word of God. You know, that's what we believe about the scriptures. But there's something about Romans, just the nature of when Paul wrote it, why he wrote it, to whom he wrote it. And it just lays out the message of the gospel in such a powerful way. So I've been spending time already here over the last few weeks, just kind of preparing for that. And I love it. So I'm really excited. I just want you to be aware of that. That's something I'm looking forward to getting started, next week. Another thing, and this, I'm not sure how all this is going to work out, but another thing I've really, and I talked to the elders about this week. And so starting next Sunday, I feel like sometimes the way that service starts and people coming in and you know, I don't feel sometimes like people, like we're really prepared to enter into the presence of the Lord. You know, we're a little rushed, we're a little hurried, you know, there's things going on. I understand with small children and all the things that go along with that, you know, and such like that. But what I'm proposing here is that this room, this auditorium, whatever, to really be a sanctuary in that sense of the term, that from 9:50 to 10 o'clock, this isn't the place to hang out and talk. This is a place for prayer. And I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know if close the doors or put up a sign or whatever. And we're not taking a vow of silence, okay? It's not like you can't come in and say hi to somebody, whatever, you know, or carry on a conversation. There's going to be things going on. There's technical things going on. And there's times, you know, we have a guest speaker. Actually, we have a couple of guest speakers coming at the end of the month. But, you know, where I'm going to be doing things or whatever. But the main focus is that this place, for those few minutes, is just a time for you to come and just to quiet your heart, open the scriptures, pray. You know, I was talking to Kenny earlier about it, and he said, you know, you can even put prayer requests up on the screen and stuff like that and whatever. So, you know, just something like that. Now, I understand, you know, I don't know how it's all going to work out and what it's all going to look like, and but, you know, I understand what it's like. I love to interact with people and talk to people. But if there's going to be a lot of talking or interacting, you know, that's for the lobby, okay? This is sanctuary. And again, just encouraging people to take a few minutes before service just to quiet your heart and prepare. Because I think as we enter into worship, you know, and the worship team leads us, and so I think there's so much more that we can reach, you know, if we just take a little more time to prepare our hearts. And I hope you do. You know, people do it at home. I'm not saying people don't, but I understand. I'm a realist too. You know, I understand life. I understand Sunday morning. I understand all that stuff, right? And, also I just, starting next Sunday, we're going to try to do that. Probably not going to do the countdown thing anymore. You know, the 5-minute countdown and all. Some of you have, what's he talking about? you know, just have some worship music playing through the system and just come in. If six people are in here before 10 o'clock or this is not a legalistic thing, you know, I'm not going to chastise, but whatever, if you want to talk, that's fine. I just want to provide that opportunity, and I'm hoping over time that more and more people will see the value of it and desire to do that. Now, part of my realism is that kind of presupposes that people are here, right? And so I challenge you. You can do it. You can do it. 10 o'clock is just an arbitrary time, right? We could make the service for 9:45. We could make it for 10:20. We could make, like Roy Williams used to do the men's breakfast many years ago. It was at 7:13 in the morning, right? Just a time. It's just boom. So I get it with small kids and everything, but I think if you put your heart to it, your mind to it, you can do it. If you so choose and you want to and you see the value of that, that you can just kind of move your clock up a little bit, or, you know, your mental clock, and just try to get here a little early if you can. And again, I not try to chastise people or whatever, but I will say this, last thing I'll say about this. If you had a meeting with a very, very important person, right, you wouldn't be late. You wouldn't be late. And you wouldn't show up at the minute it started either, right? I mean, this is just common sense, right? It's just the way we live life. But, you know, sometimes, and I get it, you know, we just kind of get into this mode. So that's my challenge, that's my encouragement to you. Two more things. Our worship team, love these guys, appreciate all that they do. 2 weeks ago we announced, amen, appreciate them so much. But 2 weeks ago we announced that Jen, who's the overseer of all that and one of the leaders with Dee and Ken that rotate, she's stepping down for a time because of some health concerns. So keep her in prayer. It's in the bulletin. She's, what is it? The 11th or the 13th or something, she has a, what is it? The 11th. She has an appointment with a doctor, a couple of doctors to get some more updates on how they're going to treat this going forward. So for quite some time, we have talked about you know, worship team, and, you know, just Jen graciously stepped up and led because no one else was in a position to kind of coordinate that and such. And, but we've talked amongst the worship leaders, amongst the elders, you know, about the need for new people to step up and take things to another level. And so it's one of those things that's kind of always there, and talk about it and pray about it sometimes, but then things happen and it kind of like, you know, just, you know, kind of puts it on the front burner. So one of the things that we're looking to do is to bring in some guest worship leaders to help supplement, to kind of ease the load on those that are still, you know, Dee and Ken and others and such like that. And but, you know, because we always just prayed, you know, God, just raise up people from within, and I'm still believing and praying for that. But just feel like this is a time to do that. And so I've been having some conversations with a couple of different people about coming in and working with our worship team and different things. The logistics are still to be worked out. But I met with a couple this week, a young couple, very anointed worship leaders, and it just so happens that their church meets on Sunday afternoon and not Sunday morning, so they're available Sunday morning. So we're working in that direction. And this is something, so this is a little like put it in your calendar sort of thing. I thought that one of the cool things to do would be just to have a worship night, not a Sunday morning per se, but this young couple, we were talking about it and just learn how to mesh with the worship team and such, to come at a separate time and just worship with them. And so what we're going to do is on Friday the 13th, a week from this coming Friday, I'll say 6:30. I got to confirm with them. They're open. I've talked. Most of the worship team is available except for a couple. And so they're going to be here and they're just going to worship the Lord for whoever, however long the Lord, you know. So it's 6:30 on Friday the 13th, here. And I want you to, you know, if you can come, come. If 10 people come, 10 people come. If 50 people come. And just, but it's a time, so it's a time of worship. But it's a time to kind of, their names are Jomar and Melissa. They're a Hispanic couple, part of, some of you know, Pastor Giovanni from Medina. It's his identical twin brother, hard to tell them apart. And so Jomar and Melissa, just, they're excited and want to work with us and help us in that time. And there's somebody else that I've been talking to as well and trying to work that out. So I'm saying all these things for you to pray and just to kind of understand some of the things that we're looking at. So January 13th, 6:30, Friday night, come ready to worship and meet Jomar and Melissa, and hopefully as time goes on, they'll be here, you know, from time to time and be a part of that. Lastly, I have talked and prayed and talked to the elders for a number of years, probably 2 or 3 years, about the, okay, you ready? Everybody listening? About the next generation of leadership here in Harvest Christian Fellowship. And I love doing what I do, and I would do it till I was 100. And but I also believe that the church needs younger leadership and needs that next generation. So it's something, and honestly, I think I can say this, you know, the elders would agree. You know, I kind of pushed this, you know, in the beginning, you know, that we need to understand this transition and this succession plan and stuff. So I know where your mind's probably going in a million different directions. My heart's desire is I'm not going anywhere. I mean, that's my desire, all right? But I feel like there needs to be a transition. My heart is here, I've said for many years, and I never actually did it, but I buy my cemetery plot down the street, you know, at Mount Albion. Love this community, been here since 1987 and all. But, so my heart is this, is to become more of a spiritual father, you know, in the house and a mentor, and to kind of step back and let someone else step in over time. This is a few year transition probably, you know, into the lead role. And I just want to be a support. And that's my dream. That's my desire. I know there's all kinds. I've been talking to some people I really respect and about that whole thing. So we have some money. Not that we have some money, but we're trying to set aside some money in the budget this year to maybe bring an associate person on staff and then see if we can go through a 2 or 3 or whatever year transition. You know, I always use the phrase that John the Baptist, you know, he must increase and I must decrease sort of thing. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. And I've shared it with a number of people. I just kind of freely talked about it. I mean, maybe it's the first time you've heard about it, but I've talked about it with a number of folks over the last few months. So actually I was supposed to meet with somebody, a young man who's a potential candidate for that. I was supposed to meet with him this week, but we can't. We got to reschedule it, but this coming week. So I share all these things. I am so, and this is, pastors do this, and they tend to overhype things sometimes. I try not to do it, but I sincerely mean this from the bottom of my heart. I am so excited about the future and what God has in store and what it's going to look like, you know? And I'm just like, yes, this is really, really cool. You know, my heart's desire had always been that someone would raise up from within, you know? And at this point, I don't, you know, I've believe me, I look and I pray a lot, you know, and I don't see that person who feels, you know, if there's something stirring in your heart, come talk to me, because I haven't found that yet. So in light of that, then, you know, there's been a few over the years, you know, that have kind of risen up, and I'm like, you know, I kind of got my eye, you know, this could be the next generation, and then God calls them somewhere else, you know, and I said, okay. So we're looking at that and praying that whole thing through, and so those are the things I wanted to share with you. Please don't go out and say, oh, Pastor Tim's stepping down or something, like, you know, because that's not my, you know, like, people hear what they want to hear, and or like their mind just all of a sudden shuts down. I'm excited about seeing who God is going to raise up for the next generation, and I want you really to be in prayer with us, with the leaders, for that. And I truly hope, my heart's desire, and I've had in-depth conversations with a couple of, you know, with Ron Domina as a spiritual father for me, and another gentleman, he's the president of Elam Fellowship, and you know, we just got together here a few weeks ago, and, you know, just talked about it. Those transitions aren't easy, you know, sometimes they can get bumpy or whatever, and also just trying to really pray that through. And as far as, you know, some pastors, they, like today, my dear friend Dan Thurber, yes, you know, they have a new pastor now as of today at Oak Orchard Assembly, and he's just kind of stepping back, you know, and I don't know if he'll stay or you know, go to another church or what, you know, it's because it's different in different churches. I really, really, I love this congregation. I love this community. I love Harvest, and I just want to be a part of it, maybe in a little different role in the years to come. So that's what's on my heart, that God would give us the ability to see what he sees and that we would embrace that and move forward in that. I'm going to ask you to stand. I know the smell of that food next door has been weighing on me a little bit here this morning. No, I'm just kidding. And that's some of what I'm seeing. So remember, you know, I'm going to start an expository teaching next week. You know, we're going to try to encourage folks to pray before the service here in the sanctuary. Some new things going on with the worship team and next generation leadership. Those were the things that I was seeing. And again, I'll be spending some more time in prayer over the next few weeks, going away next week just to spend some extended time with the Lord about that. But I, again, I'm really excited, but I feel like it's a season of some shifting and some transitions. And just please promise that you'll be in prayer for all those things and more. You know, it's interesting. I just have this saying, so, you know, sometimes things got to be shaken up. Shaken up? Shaken up? Got to shake things up, I guess. I don't know, we'll say it that way. And, you know, sometimes people say, I'm in a groove. Well, there's a fine line between grooves and ruts. You know what I'm saying? There's a really fine line between those two things. And sometimes you just need to be shaken a little bit. And so I feel that. I feel that shake. I feel that, that transition. I'm excited and hope that all this moves forward as God leads and such. So just wanted to share those things with you. Keep them in prayer. Let's bow our heads and take a moment here as we close this morning. Father, we pray, as Tim instructed us earlier, that we would walk in the footsteps that you have for us, God, as a congregation, as individuals, as families, Lord, and whatever you call us to, Lord God, that we would say, I preached a message a few weeks ago, yes, Lord, when you speak, we obey. And I pray that we would be those kinds of people. And Lord, we're looking to you. I think of the scripture in Joshua, where Joshua said, you must follow the ark because you've never gone this way before. That Lord, you led the people of Israel with the priests out in front, with the ark leading, and they just were to follow. And God, I feel like that's good advice for us all the time, to just try to follow the ark and where you're leading us. And so I just pray there's an openness in us. I pray that God, not just things here in the church, but in our individual lives, in our families, God, that you would show us those things, God, in the spirit, those things you want us to see, those things that you want us to be pursuing after, those things that you want to bring out of the realm of the spirit into the natural realm through our lives, oh God. And so I pray that you would, I say that not to hype it. I'm really excited about the season we're entering into, the season that we're in. And I just believe it and pray that it would be a fruitful time and all for the glory of God. And we thank you. Thank you for it. And I pray for those here, you know, those here, it's the first day of this new year. And I pray if somebody is here and you don't know Jesus Christ, come on, that's where all of history and that's where all of our lives pivot, on the person of Jesus Christ and what we do with him. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, that would be the best thing you can do stepping into this new year, to give your life to him. I say it, and forgive me for those that have heard it 1,000 times. 45 years ago when I said yes to Jesus and surrendered my life, I have never for one second regretted that. And I thank you, God, for your faithfulness. You have been so good to me. Even through problems and struggles and painful things, you are so good. You are that friend that sticks closer than a brother. You never leave us nor forsake us. And if you need that relationship, I would love to pray with you and give you some more guidance and instruction on what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ. So I'll be here, and other elders, other, you know, if you just turn to somebody and say, hey, I want to know more about what pastor's talking about. So Lord, we thank you for this time. Pray we'd have just a blessed time of fellowship, kind of celebrating, ringing in this new year in a little different way here. And so, blessed. We're so blessed by Rick and Dee and what they do for us, and even today, just going above and beyond and blessing the church in such a powerful way. So we thank you. Pray we just meet some new folks, have some great times, share some good food, and we just give it all to you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 See you next door. You're dismissed. The altar is open. I'll be here if you'd like to pray.